Get the Toyota forklift advantage. Visit toyotamaterialhandling.com.au.
Hello, everybody. It's a terrible morning, especially for everyone here at Triple M. A huge gaping hole has been left in the landscape of FM radio, particularly in Sydney, where Doug Mulray ruled since 1982. And rarely does an entire city get taken by one man, and he was the man. He is legendary, a legendary radio performer. As you say, I came from Melbourne. I didn't know much about him, but we knew all about him. We knew how huge he was. And for anyone doing comedy, particularly going into radio and breakfast radio, he was considered the biggest star in the firmament. And he did rule Sydney Breakfast for a long time. A lot of us who do this for a job owe him a great debt. He paved the way in many ways. He was got on the FM train as it was leaving the station and just dominated it. He worked with some of the greats. He transformed Triple M Sydney, and his impact reverberated all around Australia. And this is an important passing, and especially for people in our industry. And I imagine there's a lot of people out there in Sydney today who will pause and think of how he affected their lives and where they were when they heard their favourite bits and the idiocy he got up to over the years. He just, he was a pioneer and a maverick, and what he did will probably never be surpassed in terms of what we're doing. MG, you would have grown up around him, with him on radio. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, he was the godfather. He was the man. I remember being in about year 8 or 9 at school, and all of a sudden this guy come on this new FM station called Triple M, and it was kind of surround sound, and it was just something different. And the fact that he was pushing the boundary every time he was on radio, and all my vintage, and you know, we're very similar, Mickey, in age, and our vintage, that early to mid 50s, who grew up with this guy. And Mick, I met him on many occasions. I used to travel into Bondi to do maybe a sport report here or something there. But the day we in 1991, we were sponsored by Triple M on our sleeve sponsors, and myself and Brad Fittler and Greg Alexander and Benny Alexander went into the Triple M studios in Bondi, and there's a famous photo that was on the front page of the Daily Mirror or the Daily Telegraph, whatever it was back then, with basically Doug Mulray with his hands on the heads of Greg, Freddie and Ben, and blessing them for the grand final. He was a character. He was a quite shy guy away from the camera, from the microphone, if you will. He was a performer, no doubt. But as soon as he kind of hung up the headphones, he was a recluse. He headed for the hills, and not much is known about his last 10 to 15 years. But what we do know is that today is a sad, sad day. And it's, as you mentioned, Mickey, it's never, if to even think that something Doug Mulray could be on the radio these days, well, he'd be off in 8 seconds. He'd be gone.
Yeah. Yeah, times have changed. He was going around in the halcyon days of FM radio where he could do or say just about anything, and he did. I was fortunate enough to go on his show a couple of times as a guest, and that was always a nerve-wracking experience because anything could happen. You had to sit on your helmets, basically, buckle up and just hang on till the end because he was just always outside the box. He was reclusive. We didn't see much of him in later life. The last thing I saw was a package he provided at the Radio Awards Hall of Fame induction, which would have been 4 or 5 years ago, I think. And it was great to see him, and to see him getting around still with his wits about him. So, look, there's going to be a lot of love and a lot of people talking about him today. You should enjoy the life and the times of one of the greats, Doug Mulray. Ross is on the line. Ross, what's your memories?
Mickey, how are you, champion? MG, yep. Ladies.
Roscoe.
In the 80s, I was attending TAFE, and we used to pull up in the car park and sit around in the morning and listen to Dougie. And we wouldn't go into TAFE. We were always late listening to Doug in the morning. It was awesome. Two of my favourite characters was always Madam Zelda giving my star signs for the week.
Yep.
Madam Zelda here. And then and Nana. We love Nana.
Yeah, Nana was awesome.
Indeed.
Nana, unbelievable. I think I'll go home today and put on my two Rude albums.
Yeah, great.
In honour of Uncle Doug.
Well, we're trying to source some audio, Mickey, and most of it we really honestly can't replay on the radio today. It's amazing.
Which is sad because it's very funny stuff,
yep.
But it will alarm or offend some people given the sensitivities of the modern world, mm. And there's stuff I'd love to play, but I just don't want to trigger anyone, and it's a shame because there's a large body of work out there that is still cracking.
Well known for his parody, and obviously yep. He had some fantastic writers. Everything was a production around Doug. It was like you're listening to a TV show within 3 minutes of radio. It was yep. amazing what he could get up to. And one of them around that same time was there was a jingle, "You cannot buy better than Mrs. McGregor." It was a butter. This is Doug's parody of that.
You can't be better than Mrs. McGregor, except, of course, for Assistant Heather, Scottish Playboy centre spreader. Look, it's a wonderful magazine. There's Heather McGregor, we out her kilt. See for yourself, she's really well built. Oh, no, on the page, there's something been spilt. Look, I don't think that it's margarine.
More FM.
He did. He really did run a lot of pre-recorded bits and pieces. And I know even when we did Mark Molloy back in the day, it was a great template to show how you could talk, have guests, and then spend a lot of time in production making these real big trees in the forest. And he was the best at it. When we come back, let's have a look at one of his more controversial moments.
Yeah.
Of course, you'll all remember his superb career in radio, his forays into TV were, well, less successful according to who you speak to, but boy, you didn't miss him. He made a big noise wherever he went.
Doug Mulray passed away at the age of 71, and we're celebrating his life today with some of his most memorable bits from Triple M skits and so forth, like this one.
The House of M's. Oh, excuse me for a second, will you? Hello, Doug Mulray, Triple M.
Hey, g'day. That Doug Mulray?
Yes, yes, who's this?
This is Roland Rolador.
Roland Rolador.
Yeah, Roland Rolador from Roland Rolador's Rolador.
Now, hang on a minute. Your name is Roland Rolador,
yeah. And
you sell Roladors.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that it?
Yeah.
It's a funny sort of coincidence, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose you're right. I never really saw it that way before. Geez, they tell me you were quick. You're the smart one of the family, were you, Mulray?
Yeah, what can I do for you? I'm rather strapped for time, Roland.
I just rang to have me say.
To have you say about what?
Oh, nothing in particular. I just reckon it's important for a bloke to have his say now and then.
Yes, but if you've got nothing to say, why should I give you an opportunity to say it or not to say it, as the case may be?
Now, listen, Mulray. Don't start splitting hairs with me. I've extended to you the warm, wet and wonderful hand of friendship.
Yes.
I place great emphasis on friendship, and it's something I try to instill in all my staff here at Roland Rolador's Rolador's.
Well, I'm sure you do, Mr. Rolador.
Call me Roland.
All right, Roland.
Roland Rolador.
All right, Roland Rolador.
Call me Roland Rolador, Roland Rolador's Rolador.
Now, look, you've mentioned the name of your establishment about four times already. That's free publicity.
Yeah? Yeah, you got something against that, have you, Mulray? Well, you got something against business, have you? Don't you like free enterprise, Mulray? You some sort of bloody communist?
No, I'm merely pointing out that...
Now, listen, Mulray. I'll give you the drum.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll give you the good oil. A nation without go-ahead entrepreneurs like me...
Yes.
Yours truly.
Yes.
Rolling Rolador, Rolador's Rolador.
Yes. What's it like?
You're setting me off now, Mulray.
Yeah, I am.
I have some 25 years' experience in the roller door industry. Well, I'll tell you what it's like. It's like a roller door that's come off its tracks. Oily, utterly buggered.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, and I'm telling you that for nothing.
Yeah. Look, you can appreciate that that people pay good money to have their business advertised on this station. They do. And then, in spite of that appreciation, you ring out of the blue, uninvited, and you keep mentioning your name and your company.
Rollador.
There you go again. It isn't fair.
That's it, Mulray. All fair in love and Rollador.
Ending in chaos. Once again, much hilarity inside the studio. What a great job he did entertaining the entire state as we mourn the death of Doug Mulray. What a giant figure he was in the entertainment landscape in this city, in this town, and right across Australia, really. We'll get to his TV show shortly, but we love hearing from you. Our lines have been busy all morning.
Oh, wow.
And to hear how he affected people is a great tribute to the man. Leroy is on the line. Leroy, what's your memories?
Good morning, boys. Good morning, MJ and Mick. My experience with the man was we were in the Bankstown Metro at the time, and he had his CD out, the DVD, when he had his suspenders and his caftan and his high heels on, and we went in for a signing. And he said to me, what's your name and what you want me to say? And I said, oh, it's Leroy. And he goes, oh, Leroy. Next minute, he started breaking out the bad Leroy Brown song.
Leroy Brown.
And the whole shopping centre started. He was like, come on, everybody, we'll start singing. And he got the whole blooming shopping centre at the Bankstown Metro at the time singing bad Leroy Brown.
That's pretty typical of the bloke. He was it was stream of consciousness and pretty freewheeling. It wouldn't take much to set him off. Just a name like Leroy would have him off in a tangent. Let's take some calls. Is George there?
Yeah, we've got George from Ilwood. Hello, George. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. Loud
hey, Georgie.
Mate, I shed a tear this morning. I grew up with Doug. There's two things that I can vividly remember. MG, you probably back me up on this. Do you remember in the late 80s, AIDS was very prevalent and the government came out with a Grim Reaper?
Yes.
Do you remember the bowling ball that knocked all these people over?
Yes, yeah, I do.
And Doug came out when he came back to Triple M, and he came back, and I'll never forget, only he could get away with something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Being the Grim Reaper.
Oh, yeah, he pushed the boundaries.
That's what he did. That was his job. He did, and what else did you like?
And the other thing was, I mean, how can anyone forget Gloria?
Oh.
And his man, hey!
I think that was his sidekick Dave Gibson who had all the voices. Obviously,
Gibbo.
Yeah, in post production they would do it, Mick, and then you'd get something. This is how it would unveil.
Hello, Doug Mulray, Triple M.
And a good thing too. Hello, Doug. It's Gloria.
Oh yes, Gloria. Good morning. You're happy about Mr. Packer taking control, are you?
Yes, I certainly am. I'm a big admirer of Kerry Packer. You know, always have been. I knew his father.
Oh, the legendary Sir Frank Packer, founder of the Empire.
There was a man, Doug.
Mm-hmm.
Fine cut of a man. You know, I probably haven't mentioned this before, but many years ago I worked for Sir Frank.
Yeah.
I was an office boy at Consolidated Press. And one of my jobs was to go out and buy Sir Frank's lunch. And every day it was always the same.
Yeah, what did he have?
A chicken pie with sauce and a flagon of McWilliams semi-sweet sherry. And every time I'd bring it to him, he'd pat me on the head.
Yes.
He'd look into my eyes with friendly, fatherly concern.
Yes.
And he'd yell, I hate the sight of you, you're sacked. Get out, you little tit, you're fired.
What?
Of course, he'd always rehire me the next afternoon.
Oh, good.
Being careful to deduct my wages for the time I'd been away.
Mm.
And, you know, the whole experience was very character building, Doug.
Yes.
I am the person I am today because of Sir Frank.
Oh, great.
One of the many.
One of the more popular, one of the more famous characters. You're right. It was a cast of thousands over the journey. We'll come back and take some more calls very soon.
Every time you hear anyone speak about Triple M, often his name comes up, especially in Triple M Sydney. And he was known for so many different skits. One of them was his auntie ads. Here is one from Nana's Apple Pies.
What do you remember most about your Nana?
Her apple pies. They were really special. And what we didn't eat for dinner at night, we ground up into a smooth, fine, creamy paste and massaged firmly into Nana's blotchy but shapely calves. I remember
Nana's
the way she used
apple
to breathe.
Pies. Nana's still looking after you.
Oh, yes, and we're still looking after Nana. Rub, 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 rub. Rub, 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 rub.
What a red person.
It was all happening. You Chaos. Never knew what was going to happen next. A man who's helmed the breakfast show here at Triple M magnificently over time was Andrew Denton, who also had front row seats to the greatest show in radio at the time and possibly ever. He joins us on the show today. Andrew, thank you for joining us. I'm sure you're quite sad about the news. As someone from Melbourne who never knew, we heard all the stories, we all knew of Uncle Doug. Can you paint the picture for anyone who wasn't as au fait as everyone in Sydney?
Well, Doug in Mulray, and good morning, Mick. Good morning, MG.
Hello,
Doug
Andrew.
In Mulray was a, made himself a legend on Double J back in the day, the sort of counterculture ABC youth network, and he was kind of, as he looked, he was crazy. He had these crazy eyes and crazy, but he was much more than crazy. And he started at Triple M when Triple M started. So he was part of the birth of FM radio in Australia. And back in those days, FM radio was, you know, what's that? No one's ever heard of it. And within a decade, he'd taken Triple M to the top of radio, top of all radio in Sydney. And the reason was he was crazy. He had a genius for radio. Those in the audience who'd remember Graham Kennedy as being absolutely suited to television. Doug was absolutely suited to radio, and he could do it all. He could do brilliant impersonations. He was so fast. He could perform. He could sing. And he was prepared to try anything. So in the years when I was working with him, we had an audience of about a million, and it was everyone from barristers to garbos were listening. And then you still hear people talk about sketches that Dougie did, you know, 30 years later, because he was just funny in a way you could never predict.
Andrew, can you give us an insight into what it was like being in the engine room, being in his orbit as he was creating what, at the time, was going on to be a seminal radio show?
Oh, it was like being on a roller coaster, but hanging on from the outside. And sometimes from underneath. Look, to give you an idea, my job in the early days, I'd sit in the studio with Dougie, and I had these yellow pieces of paper, and I'd just write lines and jokes, and I'd throw them at Dougie, often when he was on air in the middle of something else, and he'd be not only doing his stuff and also had a perfect radio voice. He often said he had a head for radio, and that was true, but he also had the perfect voice for radio.
Yes.
And I'd throw him a line in the middle of him doing something else. He'd sight read it as he was talking and then deliver the line perfectly as though he'd been practicing it for half an hour. But look, there was a fair bit of, what can I say? And by the way, this was not me. This was other people in the studio who will remain nameless, but the name rhymes with Bug Volray, who may have had the occasional joy-making substance, which added to the general ambience of the show.
How did you become the boy wonder? How did you were, I believe you were, I spoke to you about this a couple of years back. You were 19 and you heard about this FM, you know, mega station that was happening. You wrote a raid of people. Rod Muir rang you back. And how did you first, as a 19-year-old, come to be sitting in the same studio as Doug Mulray? That's the most unbelievable story ever.
Well, I was older than 19, but thanks, MG. And look, this is a warning to anyone working in radio right now, which, oh, hang on, that's you guys.
Yes,
that's never take a holiday in radio. I was actually, Dougie left Triple M. Rob Duckworth took over, and I became one of his writers. And anyway, we took a holiday after 6 months, and the message came, well, enjoy your holiday, guys. Don't come back.
Wow.
So, shit. But that was, it wasn't because Rob was terrible. It's because Doug had decided he wanted to come back. And Doug had heard stuff that I'd written. Anyway, we had, I think we had lunch or breakfast, and we just got on famously, even though we were very different. I often said the only reason Doug hired me is because I was the only person in radio who was uglier than he was. And I think
one of the great things about radio is you can do a show and it could be okay or it could be terrible, but you get to come back and do it again the next day. Did you come to work not knowing what was in store for you on any given day?
Always, always. I mean, yeah. We had sketches and so on written, but that was the joy of it. Doug was a brilliant, spontaneous broadcaster. I remember Fatty Vorton used to do the Rugby League Roundup on a Friday. And one particular day, Fatty, he said, "Oh, Dougie, I'll tell you a joke." And he told a joke which you just shouldn't tell on the radio. And the minute he told it, it's like, oh, no. And Dougie's response to it, and I'll try and do it justice because I don't have Dougie's performance skills, but he basically went, he said the word tilt, but he took about 15 seconds to say it. So it just went, tilt, and straight into a song. And I thought, what a brilliant way to respond to a really bad moment.
There's a lot of people around Sydney remembering. We've got so many callers. He affected so many lives. He chaperoned people through certain stages of their life. How will you look back on the great man?
Oh, with a great deal of joy. And, you know, the couple of years we worked together was that, and you've had it, Mick, with Tony, who was one of the great creative partnerships of my life and my career. But, you know, Dougie, he was a very self-lacerating man. He never thought he was good enough. But I think he knew at the end of his life he'd done something which is given to very few. He brought genuine joy into so many people's lives, and that's what he brought into mine.
And any of us who have worked in radio owe him a huge debt. He was a trailblazer, a pioneer, a maverick, all of the above. He should be on some kind of Triple M Mount Rushmore or a big statue out the front. Let's do something. Andrew, thank you for your time today. I can tell you're quite affected by the news, but we appreciate your time and giving us an insight into a little bit about the man. Thank you.
Thanks, Mickey. And you can't put a statue out the front. You'll scare the kids.
maybe on Halloween.
Maybe like a Trevi fountain that could be doing a wee or something. I don't know.
Good on you, Andrew.
Thanks, guys. Good to talk.
Over so many years, so well liked, so well loved, and we can feel the love, the outpouring of it here in the studio today. So many callers who want to pay tribute. Sue's on the line. Sue, you met the guy, yeah?
I did. In 2008, my husband and I, we sailed up to the Whitsundays from Cogra Bay, and we met Uncle Dougie at Port Macquarie.
Well,
yep.
Anyway,
what did he do? Did you have any interaction with him? Did you say hello?
Oh yeah, we had a couple of meals with him on our boat. We had the situation was we were in a dinghy going to the jetty, and he's coming up behind us, and he was marvelled because we had our 7-month-old baby boy laying at the top of the dinghy, and he just started chuckling when he saw little Andrew. Anyway, I was sort of girlfriending, and along the way, travelling up, we spoke, and we had him on deck with Miss Lizzie and their friends, Pam, and I can't remember her husband's name, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
But they were on their catamaran, Twin Spirit, and he was saying how he was travelling with his band, Disgruntled Superannuants, playing up the eastern coast. but I remember one discussion. We were talking about Etta James, and because I was playing it on the boat, and how the love of music, and he was talking about Joni Mitchell, and you know, I was saying, yeah, she was a favourite. And he had this one anecdote where he was invited to interview Joni. and he declined doing the interview because he was terrified that he would screw it up and offend her, and the image of her would be shattered. He loved kids. He loved his twins. I remember on the journey, he actually slipped on deck on his boat, not ours, and broke a rib. And yet he still continued travelling north.
Wow.
Godfather of Triple M, the reason a lot of us are here today, the great Doug Morrow, passed away at the age of 71. There was just so many moments to celebrate from his time on the M's. He had so many memorable sketches, so many memorable characters. And here is one right here.
Yes, hello and all that sort of nonsense, and welcome to the wired world of sport. And goodness, what a show full of items we have for you today, both lively and action-packed and full of vitality, something for everyone, because as Brett Eklund said, one man's meat is as good as the next cove's, which is just about the most unheard-of thing I've ever heard of. But I diverge, and I'll preempt that later. Meanwhile, I have here a letter in writing from a fan who says that he not only designs and makes all his own clothes, but he objects to the way that football players in particular back-answer referees when ordered off the field. Well, madam, I think you have to try and see it from the player's point of view. It gets pretty intense out there, and how would you like to be pulled off by the referee during the game? Surely the answer is as obvious and as plain as it is self-abhorrent. Now I think we'll take a look audio-wise at a replay of one of our classic fairly good moments in sport, Melbourne Cup Day 1981 and the famous phantom call.
AJ, they're in the starter's hands, and the red light is flashing, and racing now, and immediately the Singh Pirates and Hurst causing a few problems, but it's the Phantom himself who's making the early running in the 1981 Melbourne Cup, in the familiar colours of course of grey shirt, cap, armbands and skull ring. Diana Palmer second at this stage with Rex Devil, dead ancestors well placed, and the Pygmy people moving strongly now, but just not the stride to match the grey. 1,000 metres from home now, and the Phantom's cleared away a length with the strength of 10 Tigers, and as they make the turn for home, the Skull Cave is gathering them in, with dead ancestors putting in a withering run. Young Rex would be tiring at this stage, but he's young, and there'll be plenty more chances for him. Only 200 metres left in the Cup of 81, and Devil, a complete outside chance, charges for the post, with Diana Palmer giving the Phantom a head, but it's all Diana Palmer and the Phantom. Diana Palmer puts her head in front now, and you can put away the glasses. She's got the whip out, and she's getting on top of the Phantom. She'll make it if she's got the stamina, and it's Diana Palmer coming home first in the Melbourne Cup, with the Phantom a creditable second, and we're still waiting for the Devil to pass the post.
Yes, so what a classic. 100% out of 100 for that one, all right. Meanwhile, I think we'll go over to this week's edition of the passing competition, in which a footballer of repute throws a ball at a board with a hole in it and scores points. Okay, Mick, let her rip, mate. Seven. Two, that's seven and two is... No, hang on, Mick, will you a sec, mate? We've got to add up the score. Let's say seven plus two equals... what do you reckon, Gary? Oh, no, seven. Hang on, Mick, will you? Oh, dearie gracious me, that's so untenably incredulous, I can almost hardly believe it. Look, I'll tell you what, why don't we cross over now for some cricket highlights from England overseas and Risky Benaud.
Yes, Benaud, and good evening. Risky Benaud here, coming at you from a great height on the satellite. Miracle of modern technology. And what a wonderful day we have planned here today too. Car giveaways, Player of the Match Awards, Catch of the Month, replays of earlier tests and Catches of the Month, live interviews recorded earlier, and of course, we will be touching lightly on the cricket.
Hey, we've been joined on the show now by Mel Lees, who is one half of Club Veg, one of my favourite shows, and a big one in the Triple M back catalogue. Mal worked at Triple M at the same time as Doug. They would have crossed paths virtually on a daily basis. Mal, you join us now. Sad news this morning to wake up to.
Yeah, Mick. Morning, everybody. It is sad news. It's really hard to believe. I knew he wasn't well, but Yeah, it's the end of an era in a way. He was a mighty powerhouse and just the loveliest bloke.
He was. What was he like around the station? Obviously, when you've got Doug Mulray floating around and you boys were doing some great comedy as well. Was it fun to know you had a kind of fraternity of on-air people who were funny, brilliant and smart all at the same time?
Oh, look, it was an amazing era. We were just an out-of-control rabble that was trying to... It was just amazing. Yeah, Doug was there. Doug would be in the building. We'd be in the building as well. We used to come in early because we were doing nights. We used to do 7 to 10 at night, but we'd write in the morning and come in about midday and start recording, and we'd all hang out together and just in jocks meetings. Vic and I used to sit there sometimes and look around the room. There'd be Doug. There'd be Ronnie Sparks. There was Stuart Cranny, Rob Duckworth, all these people, and you'd sit there and go, what the hell are we doing?
Yeah.
You know, it was just an era. It was just but, you know, at the time, it was just radio. We were just all there trying to get people to listen to us, and you have to remember we were one of only two FMers in the city at the time, and we were having fun, and it was paying off.
He was incredibly versatile. Just then, we've played sketches with voices, gone into songs. He kind of, it was a fun house that had about 20 different arms to it, didn't it? He just had it all. He was like a quadruple threat.
Absolutely. I'm a Punk, the one you just played, I remember he debuted that at Carrara Rock Music Festival, which used to go on, and he decided to wear a beautiful bright pink dress to go on stage. You had to remember he had hundreds of thousands of people there. They were all Triple M's. They were all, you know, died in the wool, AC/DC, and Doug walks out the dress. Now, this is the incredible thing about Doug. He was so quick-witted. He had a computer-like brain. But he was so considerate and put so much time and thought into it that he threw up a couple of times backstage before he even got to the side of stage to do that, because he really had to think about it. And there were many times where he wanted to pull out of that, but he knew it was going to be such a ripper. And, I mean... A beautiful song, I'm a Punk, and of course he followed that up years later with You Are Soul, another absolute
today. We'll get around to that at some stage. Sometimes when comedy works really well, people think it's really easy, and I think Doug Mulray was one of those guys who put in probably 10 times the amount of work that people would consider it, isn't it? He was really over everything.
He had a great team behind him as well, but he really drove them. You had Andrew Denton was part of his show at the time, and of course Andrew went on to become a massive star. And we all drew from Doug. You know, I'd sit and watch him the way he'd work, and he'd come in and be with us. And jocks meetings were just a riot. It was just great. Every time Doug would come in and be part of the jocks meeting, we knew that we were going to get out of there early, because sometimes jocks meetings would go on for nearly an hour, but with Doug there, within 10 minutes, Gracie, who was our PD, would go, oh, just get the hell out of here.
Well, no, nothing's changed. Very, very similar to our meetings post-show with Mick Mulley walking into them, so nothing's changed.
You know, Doug used to say, look, if a jocks meeting goes more than 20 minutes, then it's not a jocks meeting, it's just a ball.
It was an exciting time to be working at Triple M. It was all new and we're all getting it out of the ground, and people were doing stuff for the first time, and he just was right at the forefront, the vanguard of that movement.
Absolutely, and it wasn't until you get to look back on it. You know, it wasn't until years later when there was a photo taken of all of us out in the foyer there of Triple M when it was in Bondi Junction. And you just look at all the faces there. It was just, I was just so privileged to be part of that. You didn't realize at the time, because everybody was, you know, like head down, ass up, trying to do the best they could. And we were inspired by each other, because we were all trying to be the best at our game. And Triple M was fairly, FM radio was fairly new then. And Doug was at the forefront of it. And, you know, we were glad to have him as a leader, because he certainly... He forged the way for all of us, and we all had a great deal of fun. Or, you know, it was just an amazing time in radio to be part of, and so glad I was.
Yep, great thing to be part of, and I'm sure today, like most other people in Sydney, you'll sit around smiling the antics and body of work of the great Doug Mulray. Thanks for your time today, Mel.
Hey, thanks a lot,
guys, and to Doug's family, really feeling for you today.
Well said, buddy.
A big day here at the House of M's. We have lost a giant. Doug Mulray has passed, and he leaves behind a great body of work, so many memories, so much love from everyone who listened to him. He changed and helped people's lives as only he could, and he was just one of the unique characters. Rod's on the line. Rod, you're a bit of a fan?
Oh, absolutely, Mick. MG, I'm in absolute mourning. I'm in shock. I woke up to this news this morning. I used to listen to him on J's, and then when he started on Triple M, I'd go to school that year. I'd set up two tape recorders, right? So one on a timer. I'd tape his whole show, and the same when I started work the next year, I'd tape the whole show. I'd come home, and I'd edit out all the sketches and just listen to the shows. I've got so many tapes. Wow. You would not believe it. Yeah,
I love
the man, the man was just amazing. You know, the only man to ever been pulled off radio by Kerry Packer.
Yep.
And
TV.
The greatest face for radio ever seen.
He did indeed. And I'll tell you this, he would love to hear someone was taping his stuff and editing his stuff, because it was worth recording and keeping for all time. Good on you, Rod. Adam's on the line. Adam?
What a sad day today is, boys.
Yep.
So sad. Mate, I've got nothing but great memories of Doug. And back in the days, he used to DJ out of the nightclub called Sweethearts at Cabramatta.
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
It was a massive club. And back out, and they had a caravan out the back, which was the green room. Mm-hmm. Everything Andrew Denton said was true. He was just such a beautiful man. And I think we developed the old... The blue ones and the red ones from my times with Dougie. But, yeah, do you remember that when he used to ring up and, yeah, Mullows, how you going? He's just a legend. Very sad day.
Might have had its origins down at Sweethearts, you reckon? Fair call. Today, radio is pretty much you get on and chat and you have some interviews. Back in the day, there was a lot of production involving sketches, interviews and production all around the place. And he was probably one of the most dense shows ever to go to air, especially in breakfast. Let's have a listen to one of his sketches.
Welcome once again to the Dame Edith Evans Memorial Handbag Playoff. Here we are at the all-important grand final with our two final combatants, Jeff Kelso in the red satin shorts with matching accessories.
Hello.
And Doug Mulray in the gold lame hot pants.
Good evening.
The rules have been explained, the crowd is hushed, the handbag is on the plinth, and it's Mulray to serve.
A handbag!
A very strong opening gambit from Mr. Mulray, sounding for all the world like Dame Edith Evans in The Importance of Being Earnest there. But Kelso is up to it, and,
A handbag!
A mighty return!
Hey!
This man obviously knows his heavens! Mulray smashes it back at him with the power and control of a true champion. Kelso replies, what can Mulray do?
On the Brighton Lane!
Fantastic! He's added the second line. Kelso looks worried. He's staggered. He's on his knees.
We have been celebrating the life and times of one of the great FM broadcasters who leaves us today. He also had an emotional, well, for him, kind of emotional, when he left the House of M's, Triple M, in 92, I think it was, and his chapter came to an end, and it was an emotional moment as he said goodbye on his last program.
As I say, I want to go into detail about how sad I feel, but I am sad, and I recognise the passing of an era, and I'm glad to have been part of your lives.
Cheerio, everybody.
Three, two, one.
So I've just got one question for you before I go. Was it good for you too?
Oh, how good.
Raleigh. Yeah. Doug Mulray. Bim, 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 Mulray
FM. Get the Toyota forklift advantage. Visit toyotamaterialhandling.com.au.